The Pirates bring in Chris Archer. Joining us now to talk about it, Jason Rollison. I got stuff in my throat. It's tears trickling down the back of my throat. He'll join us now from Buck's Dugout and, of course, from the Locked On Pirates podcast. What's up, buddy?
Hey, not much. Thanks for having me on and giving me a break from Twitter. I have to say, first of all, I agree with your assessment on the Le'Veon Bell video, 110%. My God. But also, we now live in a world where the Pirates won the trade deadline. Could you believe it?
No, I can't believe it. In fact, I'm just getting ready to get struck by lightning at this point. The other shoe's going to drop, and we're all going to die of some terrible Chipotle poisoning like what's going on in Ohio. Anyway, Jason, I think it's huge that the Pirates were able to make this trade, the Archer trade, without having to give up Keller. You give up Glass now, who I think you know what he's going to be in Pittsburgh at this point. And you give up Meadows, but if you keep Dickerson around, that one don't hurt too bad either.
No, it sure doesn't. So we unpack it piece by piece. I think that I learned everything I needed to learn about Glasnow standing in the organization when they repeatedly had a couple of chances this year to stretch him back out as a starter, and they didn't. That told me that his time as a possible Pirate starter in the future was null and void. So therefore, for me, it kind of becomes, you know, a Meadows for Archer kind of headline package, and that's a pretty fair swap to me with Dickerson, like you said, and with some talent that the club acquired in the outfield in the minors from the Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutchen trade. So came together pretty quickly, but kept Keller, check. Got a controllable starting pitcher, check. Got a reliever, like you said, check. Neil Huntington absolutely won the trade deadline.
All right, let's start now by talking about what he can bring. I think that his peripheral numbers, Archer's, indicate that he's pitching a little bit better than his ERA, although I know his ERA in his last 8 starts has been around 270, which is obviously very good. You get him out of the AL East. Where do you slot him in? I mean, right behind Jameson Taillon, or is he's your bona fide number one? Either way, they got him both.
Yeah, it's a 1A and 1B kind of situation, and you're absolutely right about the peripherals. They tell a different story than what you might see if you just glance at MLB.com and glance at stats. But I will say this. His strikeout percentage has gone down a little bit, and his K for 9 as well this year, a little bit. But he's tempered that with having consistent walk rates. And the only thing I caution people on is that his fastball is getting knocked around a little bit harder this year, about 93.6 miles per hour on the average, I think, as opposed to, say, 90 miles per hour 3 years ago. And the league rate on that is about 92. So getting knocked around a little bit, but the Pirates wanted him for his slider and that he can flash a changeup on occasion, which are two things that the Pirates desperately need in their rotation to kind of get away from the fastball-heavy approach. So that's what you're looking at with Archer. World-class talent, obviously, was a big fish. And, you know, I keep telling myself because I'm trying to convince myself that it happened and the Pirates actually got him.
Is it possible for Keller to be in the rotation next year?
Yes, absolutely. He has scuffed a little bit in AAA this year, but from all accounts, it is normal growing pains. So I would expect him maybe mid-year next year, maybe a little later, depending on how the 2019 season shakes out. But he's on track. Absolutely no issues with that at all. So I think you'll see him next year for sure.
I'm pretty sure I called Jason Rollison, Josh Rollison, when I brought him on. I'm just so fired up today. He joins us from Buck's Dugout and the Locked On Pirates podcast. All right, let's put a pin in Archer for a moment now, and let's talk about a little bit Kello, who can be your eighth inning guy. You can move him around. He's a righty, whereas Vasquez is the lefty. So there's mix and match options there. But the bullpen goes from the beginning part of the season from being an absolute disaster to now, I mean, it's solid, very solid.
I'm flashing back to April and writing about guys like Josh Smoker and Jack Levisich and just thinking, wow, what a turnaround they've had. It started with signing Richard Rodriguez off the scrap heap, maybe trusting Edgar Santana when he's going through a little bit of a rough stretch to put it back together. And now you're adding a guy who is the proven commodity in the bullpen for the Rangers. Closing experience. Clint Hurdle doesn't really like to play mix and match very well, so you might just see him lock down some roles. But, I mean, if you're talking about some shortcomings in the rotation, perceived shortcomings, maybe you're not so, you don't have so much faith in Williams. Maybe Joe Musgrove is less than exciting to you. You know, maybe if a bad Ivan Nova comes out, you could be worried, but don't be so worried now because they can shorten games to get to this bullpen, and it's very dynamic. And what I like about it is everyone can miss bats, and that's pretty exciting.
Jason Rollison joining us here on the Crowley Show. Is it just a foregone conclusion that Kingham comes out of the rotation?
I really think so. I think the way Trevor Williams and Musgrove have pitched lately pretty much cements that possibility, and that's not the worst thing in the world to have Kingham down at AAA for pitching depth. But, yeah, I can't see any other scenario right now, to be honest.
When you look at what the Pirates have done, and you look at the return in the Cole trade, and you look at the return in the McCutchen trade, and then you couple it with what they've done today, I think it makes some people eat crow. I think that they've done a good job of building this roster, giving away two cornerstone pieces of this franchise.
Yeah, you know what? I thought about this earlier today and put it on Twitter. Could you imagine if 1 year ago today we said to someone that Andrew McCutchen would be traded twice in the calendar year, as it looked like might have happened today, ultimately he didn't get traded. But I think what this does is it gives you a lesson in taking the long view. Everyone in MLB these days is talking about boom or bust. You have to bust in order to boom. And somehow Neil Huntington found a way to play it in the middle, take a small step back, and come in and just rebuild his system in the span of, 6 months, 8 months. So, I mean, it's been a wild ride, and you just really have to give kudos to him and eat crow, like you said.
The Pirates, a week ago, when they were in the wild card hunt, sitting there 2.5, 3.5 back, I thought to myself, okay, they're in it, but they don't look like the other teams at the table. I don't think that they're as talented as these teams. Well, you add an Archer, you add Kello. I'm going to keep screwing that up, but we all know who I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, you look a little bit more like the guys that you're at the table with. I think you can compete with Arizona. I think you can compete with the Brewers. I don't think that you look all that different than in Atlanta or Philadelphia. I think the Pirates are right there with those teams right now. Now they're 3.5 back, so they don't have that edge, but they're right there with those guys.
Yeah, and you can even make the argument that they might have a leg up when you talk about guys like Marte, guys like Josh Bell and Francisco Cervelli, if he gets hot again, that may be even more proven than guys playing for Philadelphia and Atlanta.
So, yeah.
I'm right there with you. You know, I think it's what worries me about their chances is that they somehow have about 5 games in hand on the Braves. The Braves are 5 games behind in the ahead in the loss column. That might be a little tough to make up should Philly take hold of the NL East. But that's a problem for another time. Today, as we stand, the Pirates are just as talented as any of those teams. And they'll have to produce, of course, but on a talent level, they are very comparable.
And you know what? They gave it their all for now, and they're going to make a push. And they've got the roster with the ability to make the push. But you look at what they've got for next year. You've got Taillon and Archer and Musgrove and Kingham and Williams and Holmes and all those guys who are under control in the starting rotation. All those relievers we talked about are all under control until 2020. So this is a Pirates team that with the roster they have now can compete this year and conceivably next year.
And you're going to have reinforcements in Kevin Newman, Kevin Kramer, two guys who are playing really well at AAA. You're going to have Elias Diaz, another year of seasoning under his belt. Maybe can get into a true 50-50 split with Cervelli. You're going to have Colin Moran presumably taking a step forward, having a full season under his belt. So it's a good time to be a Pirates fan, that's for sure. The next thing I want to see them do is really approach Dickerson for an extension. I think that needs to happen now that Meadows is gone. Won't even prognosticate on that because we're all still in the afterglow of today, but that's going to have to be on their radar pretty soon.
Well, I tweeted it out. I said the only way that today could get better is if they did that and got Dickerson a deal done. What do you think makes sense numbers-wise there?
I would say he's got one more year of control, so you want to buy that year out. I would say 3 years total with maybe a fourth-year player option, something like $12 to $13 million a year sounds fair, provided he continues to have a good season, because before this season – his reputation had been a lousy second half player. So if he can put that to rest a little bit, I think he can easily command about that kind of money.
What can Meadows be in the majors, do you think?
Well, he's a very good low ball hitter and inside ball hitter from the left-hand side of the plate, which bodes well for his power really developing into a 20-25 home run, consistent home run power. I think the average at the end of the day might not be there, but in today's baseball, it's not so important. I think he'll be a run producer, and he's very good defensively. He can play all three outfield positions. So let's make no mistake. The Rays got a good player, potentially great player in Meadows right now, and we'll see how they take him and run with him.
What about Glass now? I know the ship sailed here in Pittsburgh. It wasn't going to get better than that. But can he reach his ceiling? Can he ever be that guy, in your opinion?
As a starter, it's going to be tough. I think he'll be a dominant bullpen arm. I think we saw it this year as they slowly started to trust him more in high-leverage situations. He responded, and I think if you give him a full year of doing that, he could very well be that Andrew Miller type that many people thought he could be. As a starting pitcher, I just don't think so. The control is not there for me, just enough to trust him for 7 innings of work at a time, 30 times a year. But he's obviously very talented, and the sooner that some organization decides which path he's going to be on and commits to it, the better.
Jason, if you've been following it, and I'm sure you have, but you've been tapped in on the Pirate stuff, but who else improved that's going head-to-head with the Buccos right now?
Well, I like what the Brewers did by getting Scope from Baltimore. He had a fantastic year last year. Scuffled this year a bit, but coming on lately. That plus Moustakas for them really makes them a pretty good line, gives them a pretty good lineup. I like the Cubs getting Kinsler, but you know, the Cubs just don't scare me that much anymore, to be honest. I think their starting pitching is a little suspect. I'll have to see what Darvish can do the rest of the way, but you know, I really don't think any of those guys scare me. The Braves got a little better today as well. I'm just not too sure, like you said, that the talent is that big of a gulf. So it's going to be exciting down the stretch.
Jason, love the stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking the time today, and we'll be in touch soon because the Buccos are in the pennant race, baby. Let's go.
Soak it up. Soak it up. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no kidding.